Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's your girl POC. You know what time it is. Yes, today is Wednesday, May 10th. I'm happy to be back on these airways each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you guys out there for listening and supporting this Revive platform always. You know me, I'm going to thank you guys to the end of time because without you, there will be no Revive. So once again, thank you once again for supporting this Revive platform. I do appreciate it. I love each and everybody out there who supports me, no doubt about it. But once again, tell your friends, tell your family. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or they can go directly to the TuneIn app or just go to the website tunein.com and just search Time for an Awakening and you'll hear me, your girl POC, live on air from 8 to 10 p.m. tonight. We're going to drop some knowledge for you guys tonight. Today's show is entitled Etymology 360. Get right, because trust me, we coming tonight. We have a really, really, really dope guest coming on today. He's going to drop some knowledge for you guys, so make sure you guys stay tuned. Let everybody know we are live right now. Also, if you want to join in on the conversation, anything that we're talking about today, if you feel that you have an opinion, you know, you have a different outlook, a different perspective from, you know, what we're saying here in the studio, give us a call at 215-490-9832. Once again, 215-490-9832. Do not be shy. Call us at any given time. Also, you can follow us at Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Revive_POC. Definitely send us a tweet, send us a direct message, whatever you got to do to get your word across to us. We are on live right now. We're definitely going to respond to you live on social media. We promise you this from the very beginning. If you got something to say, you want to say it, we will definitely respond to you live on social media. We're live tweeting every single show, so make sure you guys stay tuned because we are live tweeting every single show. If you do miss anything, you can look back on the Revive timeline and you can catch all the jewels on the Revive timeline. Once again, that is Revive_POC. Also, I do want to shout out once again to CBE Lifestyle, which is actually College Bound Entertainment. The website is called CBELifestyle.com. So definitely go check out their website. They blessed us once again with a platform where we can put our pre-recorded episodes up on their website and people can have, you know, another outlook. An outlet to go ahead and check out our episodes of Revive. So definitely go check CBELifestyle.com out, because if you want to, you know, listen to any pre-recorded shows, anything that you feel like you may miss, definitely go check that out. They do also have an awesome summer camp starting this summer called Profit for Passion. Definitely go check that out. Sign your kids. I promise you, you won't regret it. Once again, College Bound Entertainment is hosting their very first summer camp called Profit for Passion. So go check that out. That's down in the DMV area. So definitely go check that out. If I have any DMV listeners right now, go check that out. Once again, that is CBELifestyle.com. Also, Revive Social Media 360 needs to be in a community center, a school, a summer camp near you. We over here, Revive, we're teaching your kids, the youth, the pros and cons of social media. That is what I do. I do social media marketing. So definitely, if you are listening right now, you know, a summer camp, a school, a community center that needs this in their summer camp, there's, you know, their community center, definitely this is a program, a workshop that you need. Because I'm trying to tell you, I'm teaching the kids what to do and what not to do on social media, how they can make money and how they're exposing themselves all at the same time. So definitely tune in to the Revive 360 social media workshop everywhere. If you want me in your classroom, hit me up at revive.poc@gmail.com because I'm definitely coming. I want to speak to the youth. I want to get in the community each and every day so I can make sure that, you know, they're learning the right things to do on this social network, on social networks, because so much going on each and every day that you can't even keep up with it. So definitely that's why I want to jump in there, and I can do that job for you. So if you are looking for someone to come into your summer camp, your school, or your community center, teaching kids the proper way of how to utilize social media, definitely hit me up because I'm the person to do that. Once again, that's revive.poc@gmail.com. Also, on College Bound Entertainment, they're also giving Harmony the Goddess a platform as well. I forgot to mention earlier, they're giving Harmony the Goddess a platform as well to produce her blogs. So definitely go check that out as well. She got blogs on their pages. She's a dope blogger. So if you ever want or need a blogger, check her out. She's a great writer, definitely. And you can check out some of her work at CB Lifestyle. So once again, shout out to College Bound Entertainment. Also, what I've been trying to do for the past month, I put myself on some short-term goals. Like, these are things that I must get done. I said it last show, but I'm also going to keep reiterating because I'm going to, you know what I mean? I'm going to put this out into existence so I can get these things done. So my short-term goals for the month of May is I want to be a guest on as many podcasts and radio shows as I can. So if you're listening out there and you want me, your girl POC, on your airwaves, definitely check me out. Hit me up as well. Also, I want to be part of a community project. If you're in the Philadelphia area, because I am located in Philadelphia, so if you're in the Philadelphia area and, you know, you're doing a community project, a community cleanup, you know, you're planting trees, planting flowers, anything, definitely hit me up because I want to be a part of that. The Revive team wants to be a part of that. We want to get into the community each and every day. That's literally a part of our objectives, is to get into the community, as well as community service hours. We need to get our community service hours up. Everyone needs to get their community service hours up, not just because it's something you have to do for school, or not just because it's something you got to do to get out of trouble. It should be something that you want to do because you actually live in that community. So definitely, if you're looking for someone to help you in any kind of community project, please reach out to the Revive team because we are looking to help. We want to help. We need to help. We're going to get more people out there to help you as well because we're going to spread the word. So you can hit us up as well at revive.poc@gmail.com. If you need any help, any community projects, anybody thinking of anything, let us know because we definitely want to help. Also, I'm trying to, this summer, I put a goal on for this summer as well. I'm trying to get everybody to know my goals and my dreams, my aspirations, knowing I'm not playing out here. I'm trying to host or MC any event near you, in a city near you, in a city of Philadelphia, anything. I'm trying to be the host. I'm trying to be the MC. I'm trying to connect with the people every day. I'm trying to jump out there. So if you know anybody having an event, you know anybody who needs a host, you know anybody who needs an MC, definitely check me out. Once again, same email, revive.poc@gmail.com. Definitely hit me up. I'm trying to be out there all 2017. I'm trying to jump out there. I'm trying to do whatever I can to get my voice on different airwaves. I'm trying to do whatever I can to just get my face out there into the public to show that I am a people's person. Just so, you know, I'm just humble for the opportunity. I'm really just grateful for the platform and just humble for the opportunity. And I know what else I can do if I can just spread it with a lot of people. I could just spread it with different faces, different beautiful people. I know, you know, the changes that I can make just through the power of words, the power of communication. So please hit me up. Please do. But on another note, I'm done talking about me. I wasn't trying to talk about me. Somebody actually, that was one comment I actually got from a very close friend that said I talk about myself a lot when I get on the airway. But I'm not talking about myself. I'm more like just pitching myself for the next opportunity, if that makes sense. I'm using my platform so I can get other platforms, so I can get other opportunities. I'm not necessarily talking about myself. But what I was about to say next is Maxine Waters. I want to start off by first saying, did you guys see Maxine Waters Sunday at the MTV Movie Awards? She was the bomb. She looked the bomb. Congresswoman Maxine Waters received a standing ovation, even from me in my basement. She received a standing ovation at the MTV Movie Awards last Sunday. She appeared on stage at the awards show with the actress, none other than Tracee Ellis Ross. You know, she gets a hand clap all of her own. But her and Tracee Ellis Ross was presenting the award for the best fight against the system. That was the category that they were presenting. And, you know, Maxine and, you know, Tracy, they're going to do their thing. But the person, well, the cast who won that award was the cast of Hidden Figures. So, you know, Taraji even had to get on stage, too. So just seeing all three of those beautiful black icons on stage at one time was tremendously amazing. I mean, tremendously amazing. And you all know Maxine is out here each and every day trying to fight the system. So it was just such a great category for her to introduce. It was a great time for her to be on that stage as well, because she was representing in so many different ways. It was Black Girl Magic all the way up there on that stage. So once again, shout out to Taraji for winning the award. Shout out to Tracee Ellis Ross for just being so dope. And shout out to Congresswoman Maxine Waters for showing us the way and being that example. Just being that example. Man, I really did appreciate that. And, you know, I don't really even like MTV, but I watched it because I knew Congresswoman Maxine Waters was going to be on there. So that was just pretty a super dope move on MTV as well, for putting her on there. So shout out to MTV for allowing Maxine, well, Congresswoman, let me be respectful, Congresswoman Maxine Waters to present that award. Also, if you guys missed the Truth Series on Sunday, don't worry. True Heart is in the studio with me always. She got a little surprise for you guys, too. She told me I couldn't tell you. She said she was going to tell it on her own. So she got a little surprise for you guys, too. But she is going to bless these airwaves today with the Truth Series, because she didn't get a chance to do it last Sunday, because last Sunday we were hosting the Revive Live On Air Poetry Slam. So, and it got real. You know what I mean? She had to bite that one because it got real. We couldn't slow it down because so many people tuned in, so many people supported. So definitely she will bless us tonight with the Truth Series. So definitely stay tuned. True, what is it about again? I think you said the Blame Game.
You got it. It's called the Blame Game. So you guys don't want to miss this one. This is something that I feel passionately about. It's from my real life experiences, from my eye experiences. So you definitely do not want to miss the Truth Series. And just like POC said, I have a special surprise for you all, so stay tuned.
Yeah, all right, like I said last week, who you pointing fingers at? But anyway, we will also announce the winner of the Revive On Air Poetry Slam tonight as well at 9 p.m. So stay tuned, because we will be announcing the winner of the first Revive On Air Poetry Slam tonight at 9 p.m. Guess what they're going to win, True? I'm about to tell them. I'm ready to tell them.
What?
They about to win two tickets to the National Museum of African American History and Culture down there in the Washington, D.C. area that just opened this past September of 2016. I'm extremely hyped for the winner. So I hope whoever's listening out there who think they about to win or know they about to win is extremely excited as well. Because if you know how long it takes to get into that museum, do you know the wait to get into that museum? I haven't even gotten to the museum yet. This is my first time even getting a chance to get tickets. As soon as I got them, I was like, I already know what I'm going to do with them. I'm giving them away on my show, because I want to make memories here on Revive. I want to create memories here on Revive. And this was the best way that I could create a memory, because I don't want to give away nothing tangible, if that makes sense. I don't want to give nothing away that you can just go get yourself. I wanted to reach out and grab something that was going to create memories. And you get to take a guest with you so you can create memories with other people as well.
Let me go. I'm gonna send you my email.
Nah. But yeah, so we're giving away two tickets to the winner of the first Revive Poetry Slam, which they will be going to the National Museum of African American History and Culture in the DMV. Shout out to the DMV area as well. So once again, we will be revealing that winner tonight at 9 p.m. But remember, there are no losers here on Revive. I'm not calling anybody a loser, but this is our first and this will not be our last. Trust me, this will not be our last. Just know Revive is growing and it's only going to get bigger and better from here. Trust me, we're going to have more. We're going to have more platforms for everybody. So trust me, we are coming back with bigger and better things. I do also just want to thank everybody who supported, who joined in, who just pretty much allowed us to come into their space for that time and just to get a piece of what they're thinking each and every day. So thank you once again for everybody who joined in, everybody who signed up, everybody who listened, everybody who retweeted, you know, everything. It was so much love shown on that day. So I really, really do appreciate it. But I want to talk about that game last night. I really do. I'm not a sports commentator, but I do know a little bit about basketball. I grew up on basketball. Basketball is my first love. So that game last night between the Rockets and the Spurs was what the playoffs should look like every time. Literally, the Rockets and the Spurs played an actual game last night. I mean, they was hooping. They was hooping out there. I'm not no team hopper or anything like that. If my friends listening, because you know I'm a Wizards fan. I'm from the DMV, so I'm rooting for the Wizards no matter what. Shout out to the Wizards and John Wall always. Let's go get that W tonight, actually, because we are playing tonight. So let's go get that W tonight. We here on Revive is wishing nothing but all positive vibes to the Wizards tonight, because we need to get at least one. Don't let them sweep us. We need to get at least one. But that block by Ginobili last night, though. I mean, come on. The look on James Harden's face was priceless. The way he just walked off the court, untucked his jersey, like, what just happened? Did Ginobili just block my shot from behind at that? It was definitely a risk that Ginobili took. But at the same time, Ginobili is a vet in the game. So he's like, yo, I got to jump out there. I'm not about to lose this game off no three-pointer. And he jumped out there and blocked James Harden's shot from behind. Clean block. I mean, didn't touch a soul but the ball. Like, give me that Spalding right out your hand. It was amazing. Like, I'm not hyping it, but to see that was just like, yo, this is what the playoffs should look like. I'm over here watching the Cavs game. I'm like, this ain't no playoff game. This ain't nothing real. But when I watched the Houston Rockets and the Spurs last night, they definitely did their thing. So shout out to the Spurs for winning. Shout out to Ginobili as well. And also one more thing. If they literally win the entire series without Tony Parker, I mean, crickets. We can't say nothing. We really can't say nothing. That means they put the team on a back. Because everyone thought the Spurs was going to be out when Tony Parker went down. So, I mean, it's not looking like that because they up one game right now. So, I'm just giving credit where credit is due because that block was definitely nice. And I just had to shout that out here on Revive because I love basketball. But, once again, Wizards, let's go, Wizards. Let's get this W tonight. Let's get this chip. We going all the way. Definitely shout out to the Wizards. But, once again, we are going to have the Truth Series coming on tonight as well. She's actually about to come up right now within the next 3 minutes. We are going to go to a quick commercial break so we can get the Truth Series on, but I do just want to reiterate who our guest is tonight for you guys as well. Tonight's guest will help facilitate the conversation so we can get all types of perspectives and ideas and also different outlooks like I talked about earlier. Today's guest in Revive is a writer and an author, Brother Abdullah Bey is the one who actually introduced me to etymology as well. So you don't want to miss this show. Definitely stay tuned. He told me a little bit about the Stolen Legacy as well. So you never know. He might just drop a couple gems on each and everybody out here. So stay tuned for this impactful lesson we are about to learn today here on Revive. Also, True Heart's coming up next. You don't know who she about to point the finger at with this blame game. So make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is. It's your girl, POC. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. Thank you for supporting the Revive platform always.
after an exhaustive, almost year-long investigation, all of the prosecutors and agents involved in this case have come to the conclusion that insufficient evidence exists to charge either officer with a federal crime in connection with this incident. It is not enough to show that an officer acted recklessly or with negligence or by mistake, exercised bad judgment, used poor tactics, or even that the officer escalated the situation where he could have de-escalated it. Those things are not violations of the federal criminal civil rights laws.
We didn't leave the meeting defeated. The rumors were true that the Department of Justice is not going to file any charges in this situation, but they explained why, and we understood why. It didn't meet their threshold for the higher standard of the Department of Justice. They hands down agree that the actions of the police officers that night were outrageous, were inappropriate, were not following procedure, were unexplainable. But that meets the threshold of the Attorney General's office where this investigation will now be going.
When I was only 6 years old, my mom started smoking. I really didn't like it. When I was 12, I began inhaling.
When I was 23, my mom passed away of lung cancer. Around the same time, I began smoking. Let's just hope my choices only affect me.
When I was young, my dad would smoke everywhere we went. He would smoke in the house, in the car, at his job, and even outside of my school when he would pick me up. And I remember I would beg him to stop, explaining to him how I was worried about his health. And in response, he would always tell me, "Son, your dad's a superhero. Nothing bad will ever happen to me." 15 years later, he was right. Nothing bad ever happened to him. But I was diagnosed with lung cancer after never picking up a cigarette in my life. Choosing to smoke affects everyone, not just you.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? It's the truth series. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome back to Revive. This is your girl, True Heart. I know for those of you who are listening, probably like, wait, where's POC? No, she's still in the studio with me. Welcome to the True Series, and thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everyone is having a wonderful winning Wednesday. We're going to jump right into the True Series. Keep in mind that the True Series is brought to you by Higher Level Communication and presented by myself, True Heart. You guys do not want to miss what's happening at Higher Level Communication. And so you do not miss a beat, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram by typing in Higher Level Communication. And on Twitter, it is Higher Level Com. Higher Level COMM. You do not want to miss what we have coming down the pipelines and even what we've done in the past because it's been great. If you're having a bad day and you want to read over some daily affirmations, scroll through from that daily affirmation challenge that we did in April. You definitely don't want to miss it. So be sure to follow us. And if anybody wants to email me directly, you can email me at higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. Again, it's higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. Higher Level Communication is bringing you personal development coaching so you can be the best
version of yourself. We have daily inspirational posts, communication tips, and so much more. So be sure to jump on board. So let's jump right into the True series. Just like I mentioned earlier, today's topic is the blame game. That's the title of the True series today. And I brought it up because so many things have happened this past week and these past weeks. I'm like, yo, this can't just be me dealing with this stuff. Let me come onto the Revive platform and actually communicate this to the listening audience. So today's topic is the blame game. And basically, it's a simple message. It's stating, stop blaming people for where you are in life. And BOC kept saying, who you about to point the finger at? Honestly, sometimes we have to take responsibility for our own actions. So stop blaming people for where you are in life. When things don't go our way, or we oftentimes feel like we're not where we want to be, we blame other people's involvement. Don't get me wrong. People can definitely play their part. And it can be someone else's fault. However, you have to take responsibility for your own actions. And the reality is, when things happen and something doesn't go according to plan, it's not really someone else's fault. We have to see the part that we played in it as well. Blaming others will never, ever help us move forward. And I was thinking to myself, because a lot, and a lot has been going on, and I'm like, wait, so honestly, I just sat down and I said, well, so what? And it might sound negative to say, but I'm like, so what that person betrayed you? So what that person laughed at you? So what a friend did some unfriendly things? Or someone didn't believe in you? So what? You have to address it, heal from it, and move on. Don't stay stuck. My mom used to always tell me, True, because my middle name is Trueheart, for those of you who don't know. True, don't get stuck. And as I got older, it really, really made sense. Don't get stuck. Do not stay stuck. Do not stay worrying about and thinking about, oh my gosh, that person did me wrong. Oh my God, that person laughed at me. Oh my God, that person wasn't my friend. Things happen. Life isn't always going to be peachy cream and rainbows. It's not going to be that. Blaming others, what I realize is blaming others really gives power to someone else. If you step back and accept responsibility when things go wrong, you'll also be admitting to yourself that you have the power to fix the problem the next time. Don't keep doing something and expecting a different result. That's only going to make you insane. You think you're going to treat this person the same way and then still get treated and expect to get treated differently? It just doesn't work that way. And then blaming someone else all the time, it really just makes you think about the negative. You really don't move past it because you're still thinking about what someone did to you. And you can be spending that time thinking about something so much more positive. Cancel out the negativity, and I promise you that it will be replaced with positivity. Stop asking yourself, oh my gosh, why did bad things happen to me? And take responsibility for what you're doing to change the paradigm and change the situation, rather than allowing yourself to stay in that same situation, in that same relationship, in that same job that's really not benefiting you. You have to go from a victim to a victor. Go from a victim to a victor when you actually realize you understand what happened, you acknowledge what happened, and you move on. Don't get me wrong. Life happens, and some things are easier to move on than others. But when you really acknowledge, like, this isn't helping me, this really isn't doing much for me, do something different. Bust a left instead of a right, and you never know where it may take you. You have to develop and maintain a positive attitude. and maintaining a positive attitude and a positive mindset requires more than just thinking happy thoughts. We have to anticipate good. We have to know that great things are coming as far as happiness, health, success, better relationships, better friendships, better this, that, and the third. We have to anticipate the good. We can't keep focusing on the negative because then our mind is just going to be so consumed with negativity. And if you really think about it, situations, obstacles, and difficulties, they'll really all work out in the end. And what I tell myself and I tell my inner circle is that if it's not okay, then it's not the end. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be okay. And then what I found when I really thought about this, like, we can't keep blaming people for where we are, I was reminded of some ways to actually cultivate and develop a better positive mindset. It's important to have an attitude of gratitude. And that sounds so cliche, but the other day I really woke up and said, wow, thank God I don't look like what I've been through. And that's just a humbling thing to say. And I'm sure everybody has probably had one of those moments where it's like, whew, I didn't think I was going to make it out of there. Or I didn't think I was going to get past that heartbreak. Or I didn't think I was going to get past that, you know, this, that, and the third, whatever the situation may be. Whether it's a flat tire or you losing the job, it could always be worse. But having an attitude of gratitude, being grateful, and stop taking things for granted, because you never know the things you have right now in this very second. Sure, life isn't easy. But the things you have in this very second, in this very moment, somebody may be praying for. And we're still complaining about all these things that are not happening and not going right. And this person did this to me and this person did that to me. When in reality, you may have something that somebody is praying for. Be careful what you say out your mouth because those things may actually happen. We have to notice and appreciate the positive things in our life. It's a great way. When I say a such fulfilling moment to actually sit back and say, wow, I'm so grateful for where I am. It provides not only a spiritual lifting, but you have a mental boost as well. Also, if your circle isn't uplifting you and continuously reminding you to do the right things and achieve your goals and continue to go after your dreams, then you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Bad company corrupts good character. Make sure you're hanging around positive people. The bottom line is behavior and thought patterns mirror each other. Be careful who you have in your inner circle. Because everyone that's with you right now may not necessarily be with you at the end of the journey. I know in college they always used to tell us, look to your left and look to your right. And the people that you see here in this freshman orientation may not be there at the end. And guys, when I say that's so true, you never know what may happen in the blink of an eye. You never know how life may hit somebody and say, dang. Because when I walked across the graduation stage, some people that I looked to the left and looked to the right in my freshman orientation weren't there. So just make sure that you're surrounding yourself with positive people. And it's okay for your circle to change. As you grow and you develop, it's okay to let new people in and not necessarily forget the old. But if your circle isn't helping you grow and helping you to achieve your dreams, maybe you have to expand it a little bit. Also, just like I said before, stop dwelling on negativity. Stop dwelling on Debbie Downers. Because that's only bringing you more negativity. It's not really producing any positivity. And we have to just surround ourselves with so many positive people because we don't necessarily want to get stuck. And this is a part where if something happens, you want to make sure that you have a group of people and that you're stable enough to, like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to take responsibility of what happens to me and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep thriving. So guys, regardless of where you are in life, I'm telling you that if you need to bust a move and you need to make a change, you can do it. Stop blaming other people for where you are in life, for the things that happen to you. So what? Case in point, I'm applying to graduate. I'm applying to graduate school. Everybody knows I'm applying to graduate school. People are like, oh, what happened this? What happened with that? I can't blame the school for not accepting me if I never sent them my application. Or I can't blame the school for not giving me enough financial aid if I didn't submit to my financial aid application on time. I would sound crazy. People would look at me like, wait, what? And that's oftentimes when things happen. Don't get me wrong, because some people have a hand in some messy situations as well. But don't get me wrong, we have to figure out what our role is in certain situations. And I'll leave you with this. At the end of the day, you are solely responsible for your success and your failure. And the sooner you realize that and you accept that and integrate that into your work ethic, then you'll start being successful. As long as you blame others for the reason you aren't where you want to be, you will always be a failure. And that's from Erin Cummings. Guys, we have to stop focusing on other people and what other people have done to us. And we have to start focusing on what we're doing. Because as much time and energy as you spend on focusing on people that have done you wrong, can be focusing on bettering yourself and bettering your life. So I challenge you all to take responsibility and basically just assess where you are right now and where you want to be. And in that conversation with self, try not to talk about other people. Well, this person did this to me. Oh, I could have went to a better school. Oh, my mom or dad didn't send me to a better school. Stop blaming what other people didn't do for you and figure out what you're going to do for yourself. So that is the True Series today. It was entitled The Blame Game. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you want to call in or at any time have any comments, you can call in at 215-490-9832. And be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook just by typing in Higher Level Communication. And on Twitter, it's Higher Level Comm, C-O-M-M. And also, the grand finale of the Truth Series. I'm so excited. So, the Truth Series has a new logo. I wish we had some drum roll keys or something like that. I'm so excited. It has a new logo. So, it will still be an entity under Revive. However, it will just be more noticeable. I am going to send it out on all the Higher Level Communication networks. I'm going to send it over to POC so she can put it on her social media networks. And it will just be very, very... A round of applause. But I'm very, 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 very stoked. Michelle did a wonderful job. Michelle Bo was my graphic designer. If anybody needs any graphic design work, guilty plug. She is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. So the True Series has a new logo. I'm really excited to release it. And what better way? The listening audience is the first to know about the new fire that's on Revive. So thank you, POC, for the platform. Thank you all for listening. If anybody wants to contact me, email me at higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. This is your girl, True Heart, signing off.
That was a great Truth Series. Definitely was a great Truth Series. You said you was going to be passionate. You definitely was passionate about that one. I do agree. Definitely stay tuned to the Truth Series coming on the Revive platform each and every Sunday. She came on today on Wednesday because it was so much fire going on with the Revive on-air poetry slam. So she came on today so she can drop the blame game for us today. And I do also agree with her. Stop pointing at other people for your own faults. You know what I mean? Every one of us has a choice to make, you know, and the choice that you make is always going to fall back on self. It's never going to fall back on the person that you're pointing your finger at. It's always going to fall back on self. So keep that in mind. Thank you for that, because there are a lot of millennials out here who want to point fingers at their mom, want to point fingers at their dad because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But at the same time, you have your own mind. You have your own brain. Start to think for yourself. Educate yourself on things that you want to know. Educate yourself on things you want to learn about, because you can change your whole perspective. You know what I'm saying? You can change so many different things around you just by simple education. So definitely do that. But once again, today's show is entitled Etymology 360. Stay tuned. Today's guest is Brother Abdullah Bey. Once again, Brother Abdullah Bey is an author and a writer. He's going to come onto the Revive platform tonight to drop some gems on us just to help us understand just
how words have been transformed, as he would say, has been transliterated over time through history. So definitely stay tuned. He's coming up right after this commercial break. Thank you once again for everyone who is participating and just supporting the Revive platform. I do appreciate you. Once again, we are live tweeting on Twitter right now at Revive_POC.
Change.
I think what people get confused is, you know, they're grinding with a goal. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have goals, but you should be grinding for grinding's sake. You know, you should grind because that's what you do. You're passionate about what you do, you know, and so you're waking up every day with this concept of I have 24 hours and they're mine. This 24 hours belongs to me.
Right.
And whatever I do in this 24 hours will determine where I'll be tomorrow and the next day. And I think that's what people need to focus on. Like, get off of this, I want to make six figures. I want to drive this car. I want to live in this house. I think what people should be focusing on is I have 24 hours. Like, Oprah only has 24.
Yeah.
Bill Gates only has 24. Like, Warren Buffett only has 24 hours. And in that 24-hour period, I can either break my life or make my life. And I think... And I'm not saying you shouldn't have goals. Don't. That, I just think that goals for people is too high on the priority list. And I think what should be on the priority list is going to bed so you can wake up the next day and you can grind it out. And I'm just a dude that believes you reap what you sow. So if you're grinding on Monday, grinding on Tuesday, grinding on Wednesday, if you're grinding 6-7 days a week for a span of 5 or 6 years, something's got to come out of that.
Sure.
But if you're only grinding, you know, on Monday you fired up, Wednesday you back to sleeping in, Thursday you got the funk of the world is on. Like I've heard people say,
Hump day.
What is every day is hump day. Like what's Wednesday is hump day. Like Monday hump day. Tuesday is hump day. Like every day is hump day. And I think if we would spend more time on what's my goal, you know, and meaning what do I need to accomplish in this day to live this lifestyle, and you go after it. Then I think more people will.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is my. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC live on these airwaves. Make sure you spread the word that we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can just find us at TuneIn. You can download the app or you can go to the TuneIn website and just search Time for an Awakening. You'll hear me, your girl POC, live on these airways. But we do have our guest for today's show on the phone right now. So Trueheart is going to introduce today's guest. I'm Trueheart. Who do we have coming on the Revive platform tonight?
Tonight we have Brother Abdullah Bey. Brother Abdullah Bey is a graduate of Glassboro State College, where he earned a BA, a bachelor's degree in sociology. He continued his educational support pursuits and also acquired a master's degree at Rutgers University Graduate School of Social Work. His greatest impact in the area of intersocial reform and birthright consciousness includes literary contributions to the humanitarian cause, came about with his association and activities with the Moors Order of the Round Table, MOOR. Brother Bey, we're really excited to have you on the Revive platform this evening. Welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. How are you doing, Abdullah? It's amazing to speak to you.
I am doing well. I am very proud of you, both of you, for having a platform of this magnitude, giving our, you know, to provide our people with much needed information.
Yes.
That will actually stimulate their minds and move them closer to restoring and reclaiming their land, their birthright, their nationality, their national sovereignty, of the culture. So I thank you for having me. Before I get into the crust of the presentation of etymology, as you said, 360, I want to let people know that I have a book that's been on the market for about 5 months titled Moors and Masonry. Moors and Masonry. And I'm going to read a couple, just two quotes from two different books that I referenced in Moors and Masonry. Well, on the back cover.
Well, Abdullah, before you get started, could you actually introduce yourself? Could you tell the people a little bit about yourself and what you actually do? We know you're right. I definitely want you to promote your book to the end, but please just introduce yourself and let the people know what you actually do.
Well, yes, I am an instructor. I've been teaching at etymology at Temple University PASSET program, which is the Pan-African Studies to Community Education Program, since 2003. I was a student, as Tamara was, and in 1998, I studied under Professor Burton and Richard Bailey for 3 years. Professor Burton was actually taught the class. He's my predecessor, and he had taught the class at Temple University PASSET for 17 years, up until he transitioned. I actually was in the nursing home. The class had not been taught for about a semester, and I was approached by the then director, Yumi Odom, to teach the class. One of the brothers who had studied under me approached Umi about my teaching the etymology class. So that was done. So I've been teaching the class since that time. I have written a few books. I have another book coming out in a couple of months called An American or United States Citizen. Another book coming out in the fall of this year, Masonic Composite Square and the Connection to Timekeeping and Measurement, Moors and Masonry Part 2 next year. Also, my experience of teaching National Act over 5,000 students in Kansas City Public School. I've substituted in the Kansas Public Schools for several years, of which I taught nationality to over 5,000 students in the Kennedy Public Schools. Now, those students actually thought that, you know, they are black because of the complexion of their skin. You know, they'll all say to me as I'm teaching them teaching the lessons, "What do you mean, Mr. Bay? You're not black. Look at you. Look at you, Mr. Bay. You know, you are black. Look at you." Now, that concept of "look at you, you're black." I saw somebody on the street. What did they look like, black or white? Where did that concept come from? Where did that mentality? Millions of people have that mentality. What is their origin? As Tamara knows, we talk about origin of words, origin of phrases, origin of concepts. What is the origin of this "look at me, I'm black"? Can't you see that I'm black? What do they look like, black or white? That comes from Carl Linnaeus, Francois Bonnet, and Johann Friedrich Bach. Francois Bonnet was a medical doctor who studied craniology in the 1600s. He was the one that came with the classification of Caucasoid, Mongoloid, Afrosoid. It's later on in the 1700s, Carl Linnaeus, a naturalist, further developing that theory of, or that birthright theft concept that Francois Bonnet laid down. He developed a classification of black, white, red, yellow. His protege, which is actually political, not biological, his protege added the fifth class, brown. Johann Friedrich Blumenbach was a German anthropologist. So what they did was, based on four constructs, they classified the human family. Skin tone, hair texture, facial features, and brain size or craniology. Those are the four constructs. Now, what is used predominantly is the skin tone. Black, white, red, brown, and yellow. But that actually doesn't relate to skin tone. That's a political construct that they actually use, and many nation states actually are applying that. Brazil uses all five, black, white, red, brown, and yellow, but they use the Portuguese words. Hmm. So this has been used in the many parts of the world. So that the father of the race paradigm, once again, Carl Linnaeus, Francois Bonnet, and Johann Friedrich Blumenbach. Francois, Francois, Bonnet, Bernier, Carl Linnaeus, Carl, C-A-R-L, Linnaeus, a Swedish naturalist, Linnaeus, Johann Friedrich Blumenbach, Johann Friedrich, F-R-I-E-D, F-R-I-E-D-I-C-K, Blumenbach, B-L-U-M-E-N-B-A-C-H, Blumenbach. So those are the spellings. You can look those up. So this is where that "one look at me, I'm black" type concept comes from.
Yo, Abdullah, right. and that's one reason why I love you so much, and I loved your class, because it's like once you get started, you can tell the passion that you have. You can tell the passion for teaching that you have. You just want to, you know, pour out so much knowledge so, you know, we can understand and we can get a better understanding of where we're coming from, because we have been, you know, mind, people have gotten to the mind for so long, and that's why I love taking your class. But today's topic on the show is called Etymology 360. Could you go ahead and explain to the people what etymology actually really is?
Yes. Etymology, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y, is the origin, the true meaning, and the history of words. The origins, not etymology, is not the study of words. Etymology is the study of the true meaning, the origin, and history of words. All right, you have a field called semantics, S-E-M-A-N-T-I-C-S, semantics. Semantics is the science that deals with the science of meaning. Not the original words, not the science of meaning, but how words acquire connotated meanings over a period of centuries. So there are two methodologies that are at place here. You have an etymologist who employs different methodologies when we're looking at how words, but tracing the words through its various languages, looking at its origin, its true meaning, and how and the various cognates or how words are transliterated from one language to another. That transliteration would be, for example, the word pater in Latin and father in English. So the P in Latin transliterates to the F in English. So they're looking. So you're looking. So there's studies of methodology looking at morphology, phonology, comparative method, where you compare two languages from two different family groups. You have the Germanic families of languages, the Latin family of languages. All right. So you compare two different languages, or two different family groups, or two languages, or two or four or five languages from the same family group. That's what etymology does. A semanticist will look at how a word or words gain various connotative meanings over a period of time. You know, maybe looking at periods of hundreds of years, like 100 years at a time. So you, for example, that's looking at the two different methodologies here. You have the word slave. The word slave, an etymologist will ask, well, what is the true meaning of the word slave? What is its origin? Where did the word come from? All right? What is its original application and use? So that's just an etymologist. So the word slave, and you learn, is an Eastern European nationality, Slavic, Slavs. Now, a semanticist will look at, well, look at how the word slave gained various connotated meanings over a period of time. For instance, you'll say, when you look in a dictionary, a modern English dictionary, you have what's called your entry-level meaning, what most people are aware of. One, they're numbers. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, so forth. All right? Or, and they have your Andy, also in the dictionary, you have what's called your etymological brackets. Mm-hmm. When in the etymological brackets, you have the word, the language from which the word is traveled from, derived from. You have, say, the word is derived from. Enter. How did it enter English? What route did it travel to enter English? Derived from Latin, coming from Latin, from French. So first from French, all right, then it moves into English. All right, that's a semanticism. And the words will, etymologists will actually look at the various forms, ascribe, E-S-C-L-A-V-E, how the words are transliterated from various languages over a period of time. While semanticists, you're looking at those various entry-level meanings, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Someone asks the question, well, these words, what mean, these words, this word has seven different meanings. Does it? Does it have seven different meanings, or nine different meanings, or 10 different meanings, as the numbers indicate? But those various meanings, a semanticist will study how did those various meanings come about, at what time, what period of time? 1950, 1560, 1610, all right? So that's what the semanticist deals with, where the etymologist focuses on its original meaning, its origin, its true meaning, and how and look at how did a studying the word and its symptom in the bin, its context and time. So to look at that, epistemology plays a huge role in the study of etymology. Epistemology, which is a branch in philosophy, is how does one know? Epistemology is spelled E-P-I-S-T-E-M-O-L-O-G-Y. How does one know? Well, epistemology plays a very important role because that is actually the foundational study for etymology. So an epistemologist will look at the signs and symbols of a society. For instance, you have the Egyptian hieroglyphs, which today are called the alphabet. Everybody's familiar. Everyone has written some aspects of the Egyptian hieroglyphs. Huh? Yes, they have. You call it the alphabet. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's look at the Aleph. Alpha in Greek. People will say, well, that's the letter A. Well, no. A is the modern English sound. So you have that there. If I ask someone, well, identify that glyph. Oh, that's the letter A. No, no, no. You still haven't answered the question. You're saying it's the letter A. Oh, you just gave me a modern English sound. That's all you did. You did not identify the glyph. A is a modern English sound. Name it. All right. So now we're looking at epistemology now. Now, what is it? Now, place that glyph in a setting in the bin, a setting in time. Well, it's a bull's head. And it was inverted. The proper position is that you turn it upside down, which is the proper position. A bull's head. And in epistemology, we look at, well, a bull's head, for the bull's head used for plowing. Bulls used for plowing. Also, there's a book called The Alphabet. And the ancient calendar defined the astronomical origin of the ancient alphabet and its ancient calendar sign. So the alphabet, the glyphs, was also used as calendar signs. Taurus was also what? The zodiac sign, Taurus, the bull. So this is epistemology. So we're looking at, so this is an example of what an epistemologist would do, looking at a set of signs and symbols, glyphs, and how did the people use those signs, symbols, and glyphs in their everyday interchange and their culture exchange. That's the epistemologist. Well, whereas the semanticist focuses on how the word, how that particular glyph, all right, is used in more modern times. And this goes back to the Supreme Court. There are two schools of thought. This is all connected. This is what I'm saying. This is all connected to. What I do is show how things are all connected. There's two schools of thought that United States Supreme Court justices have. All right, you have a set of Supreme Court justices that have one school of thought. You have those who are originalists. There are Supreme Court justices who are constructionalists. All right, so this falls in line with etymology and semantics. All right, so an originalist falls in the line of etymology and epistemology. A constructionalist will fall in the line of a semanticist. All right, so let me explain. There's an article that you want to Google called the Original Meaning of the Commerce Clause by Randy Barnett, the law professor at Georgetown University. Once again, The Original Meaning of the Commerce Clause by Randy Barnett, law professor at Georgetown University. And give you some references. Now, Randy Barnett, he first took the position, because he didn't know, of a semanticist or a constructionist. Randy Barnett had not read the Federalist Papers. He had not read the minutes of the Constitutional Conventions. Randy Barnett was reading what his colleagues had written about the word commerce. And what they have done was what they did with there's a big debate here between the originalists and constructionists relative to the meaning of the word commerce. The constructionist position is that, well, we can't, the word cannot have a fixed meaning because you have to accommodate for change in the society. You know, we're in 2017 right now. So we can't, you know, be fixed in the time of 1789, you know, 1610, all right? Because we have to, the word has to be flexible, all right? And to accommodate the change in society. That is a constructionist viewpoint. Where an originalist position is that the word should be analyzed in the context in which it was, at the time period of which is the meaning. What is the meaning of the word at the time in which the Constitution was written?
Abdullah, I have a quick question I want to ask you, because we actually got some hits on Twitter. They're actually loving you. They feel your passion. They was like, he's so passionate about what he's saying. But one person asked a good question. They was like, how did he go from social work to being so passionate about teaching, you know, etymology and understanding the meaning, the true meanings of words?
All right. Great question. That would lead to why did I decide on social work while I was at Glasgow State College? I wanted to help people. That's it. That's why. I wanted to help people. In 1977, when I was 9 years old, I watched the entire series of Roots. Roots was 10 episodes. 10 episodes of Roots, which is the entire series, came on from Monday to Friday, following Monday to Friday. All right, watched it with my grandmother, grandfather, who was both transitioned. And watched it every night. For 2 weeks. 9 years old. At that time, I knew that I wanted to help our people at 9 years old. That movie Roots, though it's distorted, it really touched me. I became, at a young age, at 9 years old, became so focused on making something of my life so that I can help our people at 9 years old. Now, how focused I was. When I was 13 years old, Diana Ross, it was a Diana Ross concert that aired on HBO. And she was, and Michael Jackson was there. Marvin Gaye was there in the audience. She wasn't at a Coliseum. You know, they were sitting at the table, and she sang this song, Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand, Make This World a Better Place If You Can. That song touched me. I sang that over and over while walking to my grandmother's house, bouncing my basketball all the way to my grandmother's house. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. At that time, I would say I was determined to help our people. So, social work. Well, that was a natural progression of, all right, I want to help our people. I want to work with the youth. You know, I want to help our people. That's why. So now that's tied to etymology. It's helping our people. Our people have been more classified as black Negro, colored, Latino, Spanish, Puerto Rican, Indian, and West Indian. I'm going to be very specific. When I say our people, I want to identify who the people are. All right? The Europeans have used language as a weapon of warfare against us. Etymology helped me to understand that. And I see etymology as a vehicle in which I can help our people. It has helped me improve my reading, my comprehension, my teaching, where I can actually go into the original meaning of words and show, you know, how the word has been distorted for political means. And this is what, going back to Randy Barnett, and this is what Randy Barnett saw when, once I said, Randy Barnett was reading the, he was reading articles written by his colleagues. But once Randy Barnett studied the fellow's papers and went into the Constitutional Convention records, he saw that the word commerce was actually distorted, that the word commerce does not include agriculture. What the construction has done, and this is where it is, you know, this semanticism, you know, and we got to, you know, be, the word has to be flexible. No, no, that is political. They are working to steal your birthright. Because words must have a fixed, historical, ascertainable meaning. In law, words must have a fixed, historical, ascertainable meaning. This whole, well, in this statute, it means this. In this statute, means this. No, 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 no. That is colored. It means distorted, deceptive. That is not law. It can't be, you know, flexible to, no, no. It must have a fixed historical ascertainable meaning. So commerce, the word commerce does. But the key was that to include agriculture, what the constructions have done was include agriculture, land, agra, field, till, culture, land. I mean, all right? So culture, till, agra, field. So agriculture tied to land. So they wanted to include agriculture into the meaning of commerce, thereby giving commerce a more elasticity, a broader meaning. Now, in the article, The Original Meaning of the Commerce Clause by Randy Barnett, he referenced the Supreme Court's Justice Johnson, but Johnson used the dictionary regarding to the etymology of the word commerce to make his decision. So the etymology of the word commerce was actually looked at, and the decision was based on the etymology of the word commerce. And Johnson concluded that commerce, agriculture, is not to be included into commerce. So this is not done. This is not innocent. This whole constructionist, originalist debate, this is not innocent. They know exactly what they're doing. And so because people, they're going to just accept what they're saying. You know, words, you often hear people say, well, words, you know, words evolve. No, 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 hold on. Words do not evolve. Words are inanimate. So words do not words don't evolve on, like, words on their own. You know, so this words evolve, no. People create connotative meanings. I say it like that, y'all. People create connotative meanings. Political parties create connotative meanings for their political aims. What Bob doesn't work like that. All right, so we haven't been given an epistemological education. How does one know knowledge? We buy anything.
That's true.
We buy anything they're selling. Because we don't have the foundation, epistemology, morphology, phonology, a jurisprudence, symbol. We don't have the foundation of which to judge whether something is true or false. They just, we buy anything.
That's true. But Abdullah.
Right? Another question.
I was going to get, yeah, I got a couple questions I do want to ask you from our listening audience, but we do have to go to a quick commercial break. So stay with us until we get out of this commercial break. I love your passion. I love what you're saying. You're definitely dropping a lot of gems and you're giving us knowledge. You know what I mean? He's giving us knowledge that he has, you know, went all his life to teach, you know what I mean? And I feel it. I know you guys out there feel it. So definitely stay tuned. Once again, today's show is entitled Etymology 360. He's giving us the full circle, allowing us to understand, you know, what it means to truly understand the true origin of words. So definitely stay tuned to Revive Platform. We'll be right back after this commercial break. And after the commercial break, we will be revealing who won the Revive On Air Poetry Slam as well from this past Sunday. So definitely stay tuned. We are going to drop that name right after this commercial break.
Hey, did y'all see the stuff I posted on my wall?
Nah, it didn't even show up in my news feed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either. Mm-mm.
Nah, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy Black365.com.
Can always be an angel. And if
everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Black women in general, I think everybody thinks we're mad and angry and bitter.
I always get that I'm angry.
And there's not a black man walking around that won't tell you, yeah, they seem to be pissed off. Can I say pissed?
That we will not further our education or that we will become a statistic.
Smart enough? Can I handle it? Can I handle the task? Is it too much for me?
They're loud, obnoxious.
I think people think that as a black woman, all you're really good for is what they hear on the radio, which is sex and sex and having babies and then some more sex.
And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC. We're back. We're back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are back live at timeforanawakening.com. Spread the word, or you can go to the TuneIn app, just download it, or you can go to tunein.com and just search Time for an Awakening, and you will hear me, your girl POC, live on these airwaves each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and also each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But before we get back to our guest, Abdullah Bay, I do want to announce the grand prize winner of the Revive First On Air Poetry Slam. So, Trueheart, who do we have coming up? Who's the winner?
The winner of Revive's On Air Poetry Slam is Uptown Shane.
Shout out to Uptown Shane. Uptown Shane, she did her thing.
So shout out to Uptown Shane. Uptown Shane, you just won 2 tickets. True Heart, where did she win 2 tickets to?
She won 2 tickets to the National Museum of African American History and Culture in none other than Washington, D.C. It just opened. I had the opportunity to go with my family back in November. So, Uptown Shan, I know you're going to be able to go, experience it, take it all in. And from that experience, give us some hot, hot, hot poetry, rap. I'm just looking for all the art that you have after you experience the museum. Once again, from your girl True Heart, congratulations.
Definitely. And from your girl PLC, congratulations, Uptown Shane. Thank you for coming onto Revive Platform and, you know, allowing us into your space and just kicking some open word for us. We really did appreciate it. We shared the message. We shared the word. Continue to let people know that the Revive Platform is here. We are alive. And once again, we have no losers on the Revive team. We have no losers on the Revive who comes onto the Revive Platform. So no one lost. It's just that Uptown Shane stuck out to us the most. I mean, it took us almost up into the final minute for us to decide actually who was the winner of the Revive First on-air live poetry slam, but there are no losers. And once again, this is only our first. This is not our last. Trust me, we're going to get bigger and better at each and everything that we do here on Revive. But once again, today's show is entitled Etymology 360, and we do still have Brother Abdullah on the line for us today. So I do have a quick question for you, Abdullah, before you get started again. So someone else asked me a question. They wanted to know, is it hard for someone to learn etymology if the only thing that they know is English? Is the only language that they know is English? Is it hard for someone to understand etymology?
Absolutely not. What they'll see is that they know a lot of the Latin words. There's, and also Arabic words. And let me say there are 4,000 Arabic words in Latin and Spanish. 4,000 Arabic words in Latin and Spanish. All right? So that means that they know a lot of the Arabic and Latin words. There, you have what people are calling English words are all not English words. You have the word, let's say, tricycle. Tricycle is not an English word. That's try. That's the, all right? And so you have here some other Latin words. The word consider. Consider, Latin. Right? So you could as CF, the word consider, that's the root word is sidere. This means star, Latin. So to work consider means to observe the stars carefully. Astrology. Astrology is not English. All right? Astrology, Greek form. That's not English. So a lot of people thinking that these words that they're speaking are from Latin, are English in origin. Absolutely not. Apartment. Apartmente, all right? That's Latin. So restaurante, restaurant. So they were called, if you Google, they call what they call English and Spanish cognates. English and Spanish cognates. Well, they say in English, but it's not English. Example, restaurante. What the Europeans did was, this is part of stealing now, all right, is they've taken the inflection off restaurant. Apartment. They've taken the inflection off. You have phrase. Cum laude, all right, with praise. So a lot of these words are not English words. So So no one be hard. Absolutely not. Because they have a foundation already. And they don't know that they have a foundation. So what I would show them is that they already have a foundation to which to work. That they're not because then they don't think they have a foundation because they think the words are English. All right.
So would you explain?
I don't see just saying yes or no is not good enough. Yes or no is not good enough.
So then jump into the transliteration for
it. I just wanted to explain some things, you know, why. Yeah.
So
that's more.
No, I understand. So go ahead and explain what transliteration is to us.
All right. Transliteration is a methodology that an etymologist uses. And looking at transliteration will fall in the mode of what's called comparative method. All right. Now, transliteration means trans means across, transfer. See, Latin, transfer, Latin word. All right. Trans means across. Linear means letter. So you're looking at across the letter. So you have the word, the Latin word pater. All right, pater, P-A-T-E-R. And the English word, father. Now, the P, you have what's called labialization, dentalization, guttalization, and plateolization. So we're looking at the sound, all right, where your lips are placed, where the sound is coming from, all right, guttural is coming from the throat. Labial, lips. Plateal, the plateau, all right? The dental, the teeth. So what part of the mouth one uses to produce a particular sound, all right? That's what that relates to. So the etymologist, so we're looking at, you know, how the sound from one language is related to a sound in another language. So you have the P. And Latin transliterates to the F in English. The T in pater transliterates to the TH in English. So that's an example of transliteration. All right? You have the mother, madre. All right? So you have the D in Latin and Spanish transliterating to the TH in English. So that's called reconstructing. So the words have been reconstructed over a period of time. So what an etymologist would do is see the various reconstruction of that, or how that word is reconstructed or transliterated from various languages. So that there's a family showing the relationship of that word over a period of time. So what we'll often do is, this is what the Europeans do as far as spelling is concerned, is they'll transliterate a word from its ancient origin, the ancient form, and claim it as their own and call it English. Now, that would be an English form with a different morphology form and different phonology sound, but that is not the But it still has a parent, though. But the parent is not English, as English, modern English, is only 500 years old. You have Old English, 400 A.D. to 1100 A.D., Middle English, 1100 A.D. to 1500 A.D., modern English, from 1500 A.D. to the present. So you can't. So often, particularly African scholars are good for this. Don't take a word to a time period that in which it didn't exist. For example, the word black, the modern English form, which comes from the Indo-European root Indo, implies Sanskrit. Let me explain. Sind, S Invh is the ancient name of the modern land called India. All right, India is anglicized, so it's Sindh. When the Moors took over Sindh in 712, there's a book called Medieval India under Muhammad rule, 712 to 1764, before the British took over. The Moors Arabicized Sanskrit and Persian words into Arabic. When the British took over, they anglicized. So it went from, yes, Sindh to Hindu, to India. So India is just a modern form of Sindh. Now, going back, so Blag is the Indo-European root meaning fine Sanskrit origin for the modern English word form black, A-C-K. So when the pyramids were being built 10,000 or more years ago, no one in the entire world was saying this word. It's my form. Black. No one in the entire world was saying black. But African scholars, for some reason, will say black people built the pyramids. Hold on. No one in the world was saying that word. It's modern English. Modern English is only 500 years old. You're taking a word that's only 500 years old, one, it's modern English form, that's only 500 years old, and you're retroacting to a time period in which the pyramids were being built, which is over 10,000 years ago. I mean, come on. And so that, I see that a lot. That's a distortion right there. That's a distortion. So you have to, what is the words that the people were using at the time which the pyramids were being built, the language they were speaking, is very important, because that actually puts you in the proper mindset of the people. All right? So I just want to drop that.
Thank you for that. So how does that correlate with the books that you wrote? How does that correlate with the books that you wrote? As you were coming onto the show, you were introducing the books, and you said you were going to read us two quotes. So I want to still want to get those quotes in.
What she has allowed me to do is I focus on origin. You know, what is the origin? What is the original meaning? What is the original concept? How does this particular word, how does a particular meaning come about? What is the politics around this particular meaning? So those are questions that I generate. I know I can generate certain questions. I may not find the answers right away, but the key is I know how to generate certain questions, all right, in which to find the answers. Or, you know, so I'm just keeping an open mind, joining these questions, and that has helped me in my research on thinking about origin. You know, that the methodology of wanting to know the original concepts, the original meaning, how particular words come up, meanings come about, and the political atmospheres in which they come about. So I go dig, it gives me that mindset in which to dig further and further and further. All right. So it deals with methodology of my research, in which I actually have carried over into history, as etymology is, as once again, is the true meaning, study of the true meaning, origin, and history of words. So because a word does not sit in a vacuum. You don't study a word out in a vacuum. A word is studied or analyzed in a context of a culture, of a people, their moral ways, their folk ways, how they live. You're talking about epistemology again. When you take a word out of its cultural setting, it's already distorted. You don't study words like that. You study words in the context of its culture. All right, so it's going back to the book. The book is called Moors and Masonry. And the back cover, I have a quote written by Robert Davis, professor of Italian Renaissance history, Ohio State University. The enslavement of Europeans doesn't fit the general theme of European world conquest and colonization that is central to scholarship on the early modern era. And I had a friend of mine, Atif, draw this picture for me. The picture is four European males that are bounded in chains, chained around their necks, all right? And they're all connected. And there's two Moors. The Moor on the left is wearing a turban and having a scimitar and the keys. Scimitar on one hand, the keys on another hand. And the Moor on the right is wearing a fez, holding up a more scimitar. So these Moors are dark olive complexion. This depicts the actual history that has been suppressed. Our people, Moors classified as black, Negro, colored, Latino, Spanish, Puerto Rican, West Indian, Indian, have had Europeans in bondage. Yes, we did. They've covered this up. As Robert Davis said, the enslavement of Europeans do not fit the theme of European world conquest. When Linda Colley, history professor, who now teaches at Princeton University, she taught at Yale in the 70s. Well, her colleagues verbally attacked her. Linda Colley, they wrote a book called Captives. It's one of the books, the main title is Captives. And in there, she writes about in 1624, where Moors had captured over 10,000 English men and women and held them in bondage. So this is, I'm telling you, this come up is huge now. This is, the Europeans get serious about this, because this is the key to their power over us. It's covering up the history and the true politics and who we are, because the knowledge of the history leads to who we are. So this European woman, Linda Colley, history professor at the time, Yale, in the 70s, you know, putting out this information, what Linda Colley focuses on is narratives, slave narratives written by Europeans. You never heard that before. You've heard of what they call slave narratives written by Moors classified as black, Negro, colors, you know. But there's Europeans, after they escaped or ransomed, they wrote their experience. And Linda Colley has focused on her career on that. So they've covered this up.
Abdullah, we actually have a caller on the line who wants to ask you a question as well.
Please do.
Hey, caller, what's your name and where you calling from?
Peace, what it do is Tab Money, as always.
What's up, Tab?
Out of POC. How y'all doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Doing well as well. So I did have a question. I wanted to know, what solutions do you have for us as far as etymology? Like, what direction will we be guided into? What you got for me?
All right. The word color means hide or conceal. The word color means to hide or conceal. Color is not etymologically speaking, color does not refer to complexion, nor color refers to a people. There is an organization that was established in 1909 called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So what that is the advancement of the slave trade. All right? So color is not an identity of any people. Because of European social engineering, and that was often pushed by these African scholars, our people truly believe that color denotes an identity, that they're colored people because of their complexion. Is that correct? All right? So the key is to know, let the people know that colored is not, does not denote an identity of any people. It's an illegal term that means artificial, counterfeit, and simulacrum. That which is conflict different from opposite of that which is real. So color is fake. All right? So yes, it's called color of law. All right? Color of office. All right? So they're trying to color people, which is actually a legal status of a people, but not an actual identity. So I just wanted to give you something that people are not aware of. All right? Because what I'm leading to, sister, is nationality. Our people are classified as black, Negro, color, African. Yes, yes.
Because I definitely that. Like, I don't feel like nobody should go off of, like, the pigment of their skin. I feel like it should also, like, be on a nationality. Like, because when you are examining people, like, who are they? They tell you where they from, regardless if they was born in America or not. Like, if I'm Chinese, I'm Chinese, and that's my nationality. So, but to follow up for that, I did have a question. So, like, how can we take advantage of that? Just knowing the information you just gave to us, like, how can us as a people take advantage of that? Like, what one actionable item we can do to, like, yo, I'm taking advantage knowing that the root of the word color means this is not necessarily identity. How can I use that in my everyday life to take advantage of the information and knowledge that we have? Because we all know that knowledge is power. So I need that, Jewel.
Well, there's what's called color. Yeah, what's called a term called legal term called color of law. You have actual law or real law, and color of law. And I said to before that we have what's called the race and ethnic standards of federal statistics and administrative reporting, which is a federal statute, which is actually unconstitutional. And in the race and ethnic standards of federal statistics and administrative reporting, you have those classifications of Hispanic, of black, white, American Indian, specific islander, all right? Also in the census, United States Census, 1970, 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010. Under the race question, question number 9 in the 2010 census, what is one's race? And in there, they include nationality and the race question with black, white, and Negro. It includes Chinese, Filipino, all right, and all those nationalities are included in the race question. And then also in the census, there are called race codes. So knowing that the documents that you fill out, sister, at work, at hospitals, at recreational centers, at schools, where you check off, all right, race, are black. But I'm saying to you, sister, that's the fact that is on the form is a violation of national and international law. But you need to be clear on that. They're violating national and international law. The issue is that our people are not aware of that, and it's not been made a more of a public issue. So our people really truly believe that they're black. In their hearts of hearts of hearts of hearts, they truly believe that they're black because of the complexion of their skin. All right? So the Europeans have promoted that through social engineering. So our people, see, this is the whole key. I disagree with anyone saying that we volunteer and check black off. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Let me explain why I disagree. In law, let's talk contract, all right? One must be what? One must have the knowledge, all right? So of all of the terms and conditions, all right? Now, because that's actually inducement to fraud. Putting black on a form, which is not an identity, a nationality of any people,
and actually teaching that in schools, forcing our people to go through the schools, using us, using our finance, using us as a tax base, and forcing us into these schools and teaching that we're black. And then, of course, we're going to check black off. That's inducement to fraud. That's a violation of national and international law. And we have been, and we were taught who we are, the history, our culture, our nationality and birthright. And then we check black off. This will be volunteering. If our people knew that they're Moors, that this is their land, their culture, their philosophy, history, and then they check black off, then they'd be volunteering. Because they know who they are, all right? It's done intentionally. It's done wittily. It's done with the full knowledge. And they check black off. But that's not the case. That's not volunteering. Because you shove a piece of paper in my people's face and they check it off. But you create the social environment in these schools and teach that. That's not volunteering. I disagree with anybody saying that.
Ardula, I love your passion. I swear I do. I love your passion. And Tab Money, thank you for your questions as well. You definitely brought more out of him. But we do have to go because, the show ends at 10. But before the show goes, I definitely want to give you the opportunity once again to present your book, where the people can find your book, where the people can support Absolutely. You and actually purchase the book as well. And if you have any websites or social media accounts as well so the people can follow you. We're definitely going to have to bring you back onto the Revive platform too because you wasn't Please done. Too. You was not done at all. So go ahead and present your work for us.
All right. To get the book, to purchase the book, Moors and Masonry, go to moorsandmasonry.org. That's moorsandmasonry.org. Moors is spelled M-O-O-R-S. You have the word and, A-N-D, Masonry, M-A-S-O-N-R-Y.org. moorsandmasonry.org to purchase the book, Moors and Masonry. Now, I also have another website where you work further and make people get further etymological lessons. Have etymology and reading page, semantics page, history page, astronomy page, photo galleries. All right, you go to moorscivilletter.net. moorscivilletter.net. moorscivilletter.net to get further lessons in etymology. I teach how words are developed. Looking at prefix rules, suffix rules, prefix root word suffix combinations. So that's moorsandmasonry.net. All right, I want to thank you both for giving me the opportunity to enlighten our people. I trust that I did some good.
Yes, you did.
All right, and I'm looking forward to coming back.
No doubt. Thank you once again, Abdullah, for coming onto the Revive platform. We really, really do appreciate you. And yes, you always have an open invitation to come back onto the Revive platform because I know you wasn't done today, and I do apologize for cutting you off, but we are on a time restraint. So
Absolutely. No, I was done. I'm done when we're done.
But I love your passion as well. You definitely taught us something here in the studio, and I know the listening audience, felt your passion, and I hope they gravitated to that energy you were bringing forth as well. So have a great week, and once again, I just thank you for coming onto the Revive platform.
All right, thank you.
All right, and that wraps up another great interview that we had on Revive. Once again, that was Brother Abdullah Bey. He's from the Philadelphia area, and he just dropped so many gems. He dropped so much knowledge on us. I hope you guys had your pen, had your paper out. We are tweeting those websites right now as we speak for you guys to go pick up his books. He's an intelligent brother, and he was my teacher, so I advocate for him. He was my teacher. He taught me some things. He got me in the right mindset, so I definitely will advocate for Abdullah any day, anytime, because he's a great brother, and he cares about his people. Once again, he definitely cares about his people, and all he wants to do is educate. And how could you get mad at somebody who just wants to educate? Free education is that. He will literally on site drop something on you that you will just run home and just you need to go spread the word about. So definitely, once again, shout out to Abdullah Bey for coming onto the Revive platform. Also, once again, shout out to Uptown Shane for winning the Revive on air live poetry slam from last Sunday. Once again, shout out to Uptown Shane for winning. We did tweet her out as well, so if you do want to go follow her to catch up some more of her dope artistry as well, make sure you guys tune into the timeline on Twitter and both Facebook at Revive_POC. Let people know we are live on air each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But I do want to make a PSA before we get off the mic today that Revive will not be live on Sunday, May 14th. Why? Because it is Mother's Day and I got to go home to see my mom. I miss my mom. I haven't seen my mom since about February, March. So I'm definitely going home to go see my mom, spend time with my mom, embrace the time with my mom as well. Cause I got to get back. I got to get that hug real quick. Definitely. Also, I'm trying to go home to see Tab Money too. Tab Money, shout out to Tab Money, always supporting me. I'm coming into the Revive show, you know, answering those great questions to get, you know, Abdullah juiced up a little bit more. He was so excited. I thought he was going to drop his phone for a minute. All that static that was coming from him because he was so pumped up. Nothing but positive vibes, positive energy coming his way. And I do appreciate it one more time. I do appreciate him one more time for coming onto the Revive platform. So Revive will be back on air Wednesday, May 17th. Definitely stay tuned because we will have some dope. Once again, we will have another lineup for you guys, just a straight dope lineup for you guys when it comes to guests. We'll be talking about different topics on Wednesday though, so we won't be focusing on one particular topic, but we will be focusing on different topics where it will correlate into one. So that's what we hear in Revive. That's what we're trying to do, pretty much just bring conversation to the forefront where it creates that unity. And make sure you guys just continue to support. And once again, if you do want to reach me directly, it's your girl POC. You can reach me at revive.poc@gmail.com. Once again, that is revive.poc@gmail.com. If you want me to put on a workshop in your community center and your summer camp in your school, hit me up on my email. If you want me to MC, host an event, anything near you, trust me, hit me up. I'm coming to you. Any community events, any community service hours you can think of to get me involved in, hit me up. Once again, at revive.poc@gmail.com, or tweet me or hit me up on Facebook at Revive_POC. Yo, True Heart, make sure you tell the people they can find you too.
Definitely. This is your girl, True Heart. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Higher Level Communication. It's Higher Level Communication. You type that in, it will pop right up on Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter, it's a little different. It's Higher Level Com, Higher Level COMM. All of them are dope ways to get in contact and basically just follow us. We have daily inspirational posts, communication tips, and we're bringing so much more down the pipeline. So it's something that you do not want to miss. Be in tune for all the updates. And if you need to contact me personally, you can always shoot me an email at higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. I'm always looking to network with wonderful, wonderful, amazing people. And we have released the True Series logo. It is on Higher Level Communications, all our social networks. So be sure to follow us and see the True Series logo. It is also on Revive_POC. I'm on POC's Twitter as well. So I'm very excited about it. The Revive team is excited about it. I'm just pumped up because it's an identifying symbol that, you know, when you see it, you know that your girl True Heart is all around it, representing Higher Level Communication. So thank you, POC.
It's time to elevate higher, huh? You know what time it is. Thank you guys for turning into Revive Platform. We'll be back next Wednesday, May 17th. Thank you for tuning in. We are going to still play a pre-recorded episode on Sunday, so you will not miss your girl POC. So just stay tuned. We will be online at timeforanawakening.com on Sunday, May 14th, playing a pre-recorded episode. You know what time it is.